Hi. I was in unbearable, excruciating pain, which caused me to end up in a wheelchair. And Jesus healed me, and I love him for it. And if you need healing and believe there is no hope, put your hope in Jesus. Back in February of 2009, my feet started hurting, and as the months went along, the pain got worse and spread to my legs, hands, and arms. By that summer, I ended up in a wheelchair, and the pain was so bad that pain medicine would not relieve it. The doctors were baffled and unable to find any cause for the pain. The Lord gave me a verse at this time that I would be healed, Habakkuk 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He will make me as sure-footed as a deer and bring me safely over the mountains. Leaping deer started supernaturally manifesting everywhere. This was the Lord telling me that he would heal me. I started reading the Bible and researching people that have been healed today. And I thought, if Jesus healed these people, why can't he heal me? I began to tell people that Jesus would heal me, and people would tell me it might not be God's will. It's a good thing I'm hard-headed and wouldn't listen to everyone around me. I decided to put my trust in Jesus and his word instead of what people were telling me. In July of 2010, the Lord sent me to a church over 8 hours away in Camden, Tennessee, for prayer to be healed. 3 nights before going to the church services, the Lord gave me a dream. I first saw 2 gold ornate communion goblets of red wine. The red wine stands for the blood of Jesus and the new covenant. Healing is in the new covenant. By his stripes we are healed. Next, the Lord showed me 2 deer. The deer are the sign of healing for me from my scripture in Habakkuk. Then the Lord spoke and said to me, "It is my will." Wow, the Lord was telling me it was his will to heal me. That Sunday, I was prayed for by the pastor and elders and came out of the wheelchair that day with my hands in the air, walking all around the church and praising Jesus. However, the manifestation was not complete yet. The elders said that healing is not always instant and can happen over time, and I needed to pray and stand on the word of God for my healing to become complete. I would pray, "By his stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Jesus," and other healing scriptures. The pastor told me to ignore the symptoms and to keep on walking. I started gaining victory through Jesus and his word, and the pain was becoming less and less. However, the enemy, Satan, did not want me to receive my healing. I started having panic attacks and constant tormenting fear 24 hours a day. I became unable to sleep, and sleeping pills would not help. The pain got worse. I had no appetite and would unintentionally throw up after eating. I looked anorexic. Horrible, ungodly music was playing in my head all the time. My prayer language became blocked. Thoughts came to me that I was not saved, I was going to hell, and that Jesus was not real. I was being physically and mentally tortured. I thought I would never be totally healed and delivered from this. During this trying time, the Holy Spirit said, "Laurie, Jesus loves you," multiple times. In the midst of all this torment, Jesus was telling me that he loved me, and he was all I wanted. My mom took me to my doctor about panic attacks and sleeplessness. The doctor thought I was mentally ill and wanted to send me to a psychiatrist. We knew I was under demonic attack, and no psychiatrist could help this. However, we couldn't tell the doctor this because, of course, she wouldn't believe us. Around March of 2011, the Lord intervened and sent me to a wonderful Holy Spirit-filled counselor here in Macon. She knew I needed additional help and sent me to Christ the Healer Ministries, which is also here in Macon. All these wonderful women at those ministries prayed for my deliverance. After 6 to 8 weeks, I was set free from all that the enemy was doing to me. One day I woke up, I was completely physically and mentally healed. Praise Jesus, I give him all the praise and honor and glory. He did what the doctors could not do. If Jesus did it for me, he will do it for you. God bless you all.
Praise God. He is the healer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've got one more speaker left today, Miss Arlene Robbins. She is a graduate of Caris Bible College, and actually, when the Macon School was still here, she helped run the Extension School. She is a Sunday School Discipleship class teacher here at High Point, and we are blessed to have her, and she truly has a heart for you, ladies. So help me welcome Arlene Robbins.
You know, when I speak, the hardest thing for me to do is get started. And the next hardest thing for me to do is stop. So y'all might remind me of the time, because I get carried away. When I talk about Jesus, I can't help myself. Okay? Now, I know we just ate. Patricia told me that y'all would go to sleep. Now, y'all need to stand up. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. We're going to get naked before the Lord. I'm serious about that. You've just eaten and you feel bloated, you feel full. But God's not looking at your physical body. God is looking at your spirit. To be that beautiful bride that song talked about, you must get naked before your Almighty Father, your husband, your lover. You know, y'all can sit down, but if I see you sleeping, I'm going to have to throw something at you. That's okay. I'll still preach like Paul did. Y'all will fall asleep and fall off the wall somewhere along the way. I don't know. But you know what inspired this? Shannon and I were sharing one day after Liz Fabian gave her testimony at the women's meeting on a Thursday night. And it was a very, very vulnerable testimony. She got very naked before the Lord. See, he already knew the nakedness that she was hiding in the flesh from man. He already knows your nakedness. He already knows where you hurt. And he wants to have you and me walk pain-free. He came for that. Y'all, we've got to get naked before our Father. And that is what being in the presence of God is about. Being in the presence of God is not running over here, getting in this church, I'm in his presence. Being in the presence of God is not sitting at home saying, oh God, show up. If you're born again, he is in you. He has brought his presence to you. But you know what happens to us? We get dammed up like a mighty wall. And this is the picture I saw when he spoke to me, when Shannon and I were talking. I was just, because I myself just shared a secret that I had for over 20 years, 3 days before she spoke about what she spoke about. And I'm not here to talk about that right now because the other party is not okay with it just yet. But it dammed me up before him, but before him. As much as I love the Lord, and I say I know his love for me, I put him at a halt. He says to me, Arlene, you cannot go any further with me until you tell the secret. Now, that's great fear for 20 years came over me. The enemy will use fear. That's where he lives. That's what he comes out of. That's what you and me come out of when we're not born again. We have fear in us full. Our spirit is instantly cleansed, eternal life. But if you have thoughts of fear in your soul, you're going to believe the lie. We all do. There's not one person in here that does not have a lie in their heart. Because they're hidden really deep. And as the Lord peels them off you, he'll peel another layer. And I believe there's a day we can walk. We'll walk free of the fear of that pain, of that lie. Because we'll be so in love. Not in love with him. It's about his love for me and you. It's about knowing his love for you. That's how we walk. And in his presence is the only place you're going to find it. So when the Lord spoke to me and said, you've got to tell, I had tried for years to share the secret. And the fear, you'll lose everything. You'll lose him, you'll lose your house, you'll lose this, you'll lose that. And I did not do it. People that knew my secret, see, this is what happens when you got a secret. You will hide. You hide from the presence of God. You think you don't, but let me tell you, you do. It will hinder your walk with the Lord. And you hide from people that you should be loving with all your heart. Not with love one another as I have loved you. Well, if I can't receive the fullness of his love, I can't give you the fullness of my love. It will cause me to hide. I know Liz hid from years. She had to hide from her daughter. Now, that's affected the relationship. It may not look like it, but in the heart it has. But God's going to take care of that. Amen. I'm telling you today, he's here. Let me show you the picture he showed me. He is ready for this body of women right here, for you to open up the floodgate. Here's the picture, and I want you to all put your finger out just like this. Every one of you, there's this wall. There's a reservoir of water. There's this huge brick wall, stone hard. There's one hole in it, and you've put your finger in it. And you've had your finger trying to repair the breach. And the Lord says, I am the repairer of the breach, not you. You've got to take your finger out. Will you take your finger out of the breach? The enemy's going to come and say, see that water? You're going to get drowned. It's going to take you away. The stones are going to crush you. What is in your heart that you need to release to the Lord so those rivers can flow? It's a life. It's life. And I guarantee you right now, you sit down to the next one you got and touch them and say, I know you got a secret. See, we come into this body of Christ, we do it all over the place. I have ministered, not a whole lot, because I'm just beginning. But what I have ministered, when people have relationship with you, they'll open up. That's why we have to have relationship. That's why we need to come together as the women in this church and have relationship outside of Sunday morning. Because I can feel safe. The Lord will lead you. Don't go and just spill it out to everybody. The Lord will lead you to spill it out to who you need to share your secret with. But first off, you got to share it with him. We're afraid of coming to him, and we're going to go there. Because see, in the presence of Jehovah, what is the presence? You ask yourself that. What is the presence? It's more than you'll ever know, believe. I mean, it is great and tremendous. It's everything. So I want to go there. And as you're hearing, open your heart to the Lord. Open your heart to his message of where he wants you to be healed. He's already provided the healing, as Lori has said. She began to believe, and she walked out of fear. See, and I think it's, I'm not an address person. Thank you, Helen. You know, Helen was sharing. I can't remember the address. I thought, I can't either. So don't ask me sometimes where the address is in the Bible. I can tell you the word of God, but I can't really give you the address. It doesn't matter. I'm giving you the truth. And he says in John, that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. There's our problem. And I believe, honestly, 99.9% of our problems emotionally, physically, our soul and mental thinking, believing the lie instead of the truth. And it does take some effort, but it's all worth it. It is abandoning yourself to the Almighty God. That's the contract you signed when you said, Lord, I want you. No one probably told you that because they probably didn't really know it. No one ever told me that when I got saved. I didn't know what I did. I just know I needed him. I got saved, and then I floundered. But the contract is, you want to follow me? Give up your life. It's real simple. I'm telling you, it's real easy. It truly is. We complicate it because we refuse to trust God. If you don't get anything today but those two words, trust God. I don't care where you go, what you do. If it's a good thing, you trust God. If it's a bad thing, you trust God. You abandon yourself to your will and you go into the will of God. And if you're in His presence 24/7, you will be in His perfect will. You don't have to try to figure it out. Daddy, what's your perfect will? Daughter, you're in the midst of it. You know it. Walk. He'll tap you. Nope, nope, wrong way. Come on. So, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let me see what I wrote down here. I'm not a person that can take notes. I try. They're in my heart. First scripture we're going to look at, because I want to just base some of this off of here. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's significant. You should be asking yourself, well, what's the glory of God? It is the brightness of God, but there's more. What is the glory of God that all have fallen short of? It's in His glory you will find His presence. You'll find His peace. His glory is everything, because He says in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what's the glory? What's the presence? When you get before the Lord, you need to ask Him these questions, because He's willing to tell you the answer. He is so excited to tell you the answer. But you got to ask. He's not going to cross your will. He will not. He gave us a free will. And He says, I will not enter into your will, because your will is not my will. So I ain't going that direction. I'm coming up. I stay up. This is where I live. If you want to come up, come on. How close do you want to get to me? How intimate do you want to know me? Get naked. I'm just going there. We don't have sex with our significant other significant others. We don't do that. Hello. Yeah, we have. We don't. We shouldn't. If you are, don't. Stop. I mean, don't stop. Stop. Don't do it. Get naked. We want to produce fruit. Unto God, not unto Shannon first, unto Him. He is the husbandman of this vineyard. He gets to eat first. He wants to eat the love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, goodness, kindness, self-control. He's reproduced Himself in us. So He says here, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, you know, as I studied this out, wait a minute, there's one more. It's the scripture we have at this church, Haggai 2:9. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, what place? This house. Not this four-wall house. This house. This house. Will I give peace, saith the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let the peace of God reign in your hearts. Christ in your heart. Everything you have a question to, I'm going to tell you the answer. Jesus. I'm not going to tell you what I think. Jesus. You go to the Word and find it. I'll guide you. But I can't make you go there and drink. I'll guide you, but you've got to have the heart to go to the Word. The Word of God is a person. His name is Jesus. He came to set us free. You are free. You just don't know it. See, when I thought I was okay, when I learned about that, the Lord loving me, I didn't know He loved me. When I found out God loved me, I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love. There's a difference of knowing He loves you and saying, I love Him. You need to fall in love with the Word of God. The Word of God is Christ in you. When you fall in love, you'll go places. The eternal life, it flows. It flows. It flows. You have crisis. So what? I'm in the river. I don't care. I don't have to worry about it. My Lord takes it for me. Get on the lifesaver. So many of us say, well, I can rest. I'll get out there, and we're out there treading water, and we're fighting it ourselves. Or we'll say, well, I've been tired. I'll just float. We're over there floating. You can float for a little while, but you're going to get tired, and you're going to start sinking. He said, take the life preserver. Get on it and just float. Quit doing it yourself. And we're going to go there. Why do we do it ourselves? Well, let's see if I can get us there. Here we go. Presence. Webster 1828. Definition. The existence of a person or thing in a certain place opposed to absence. The state of being in view, in sight. The presence of God. Let's go to Exodus. We're going to talk about Moses because Moses was a very meek and humble man. You know, you read that in Numbers 12. He wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that he was the meekest man on the earth. And we laugh at that. Why? Well, I know why. It's tremendous. And we're going to read about it. And you're going to see why God said you're the meekest man on this earth at that time. Okay, Moses, you know, I'm going to try to just focus on the presence of God. Because what happened in the garden, I'm running back there. Now, I may run back and forth, so y'all just kind of hang with me on the trails. We're in the presence of God. We're just following him, okay? That's a good commandment. Follow me. So, in Genesis, Adam and Eve ate off the tree. We're just going to jump right into that. And that's in chapter 3, 8. They had already eaten. Their eyes were opened. See, they had been naked before the Lord before, and they didn't even know they were naked. When they ate, they saw they were naked. So something happened. Something happened detrimental to mankind. And they said, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God in the trees. And God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? See, he did not call that for his own necessary, where are you, Adam? I can't see you. He wanted to tell Adam. He wanted Adam to say and see what had happened to Adam. Where are you, Adam? Adam need to come to the realization. So God is asking you today, where are you? We're going spirit now. Don't even think fleshly. Let's get in the spirit. This is a spiritual. This word of God is written to yours and my resurrected new creation in us. Where are you? Where are you? Ask yourself, well, if I don't know where I'm at, Holy Spirit, will you tell me where I'm at? He'll tell you. He wants to help you. That's what he came for. Abandon yourself to the Lord. Wipe yourself off this earth because you have died. You got to grasp it. You have died. When you see yourself in the right picture of who you are, this word is written to this new creation, the alive, resurrected life inside of you, the commandments for this life. It can do it. But the sin of unbelief, negates that faith that comes out of our spirit. Why do we have the unbelief? Ask the Lord. Why do you have unbelief? Because you don't trust God. I can answer it. Oh, yes, I do. No. And I'm not going to argue with you. You don't trust God. I didn't. 20 years, I didn't trust God. But he assured me in my heart, okay, I got it. I'm going to do it today. Whoo! Fear. Nope, can't do it. But one day, after I got a clear picture of things, it's been a process. You don't need to process. Just jump. Let him have. I mean, don't go your whole life dragging the... You see, you can only go so far. And then you're going to come back because it's going to pull you back. And then you're going to try to go. You can't. You got to come off the dam. Let that water go. He wants to break the dam in your heart. He wants to flow in your heart today. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. So what he's doing here, Adam, excuse me, he says to Adam, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Let me tell you the disposition of sin, the nature of sin. My claim to my right to myself. Sin's not about being immoral or wrongdoing. It's about self-realization. When Adam was created, God blew his breath into Adam. He blew a spirit, the human spirit, God's spirit, into Adam. He blew his presence into Adam. He had no realization of self. He was in the presence of God, the created God, presence. Remember the definition for presence is the existence of a person or a thing in a certain place. God's presence was in Adam. He was unaware of being naked. He didn't see self. So when he ate of that knowledge, of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, here's sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. The glory of God contains the presence of God. When Adam chose, oh, after Eve said, oh, yeah, yeah, here, honey, eat. They fell naked. Guess what? Adam and Eve divided too. It's called the pride of life. It's one of the lusts. It's either pride of life we live in or eternal life. It's in John, 1 John. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The enemy will kick your booty in the pride of life because you and I think we have this stick called pride. Arrogance, shyness. Dead center, still pride. And that's the one the enemy subtly just takes you and me down with. You know what the pride of life is? I can be like God, independent of God. I can be good like God, independent of God. That's the father's nature of Satan, who we just fell under when the fall happened. Satan didn't want to do bad. He wanted to do good. He wanted to be like God, but yet without God. He wanted the glory. The very thing God came to give you and me back through his son Jesus Christ, the devil says you can't have the glory. The thing he wanted, he tells you and me, I can't have it. Well, I already got it, but you don't know it. Because you're busy, and I don't mean this, and I'm sorry, we're busy. I'm pointing them at me too. We're busy looking for that Shekinah glory coming out. Man, I need that cloud to drop. Let me tell you something, that's a good glory, but he said, that latter glory, you need to let loose of that one because that was an external expression of my presence. But you got it in you now. Why would you want to keep seeking something you've got in you? Quit looking for it out here. It can come because there's people that need to see it. You and me are the glory of God. We should be bringing that to people, not seeking it for ourselves. Now, I'm just getting real here, y'all. It's time we get real in our hearts. You want to walk with the Lord in a close relationship. You got to start seeing from the spirit realm, in the spirit realm. This word is spirit. So as we begin to walk, see, you and me, we're the light to the Gentile. Why? Because we got the glory. We don't need to be a light. We are the light. If you'll understand and get in the glory in the presence of God, it'll just shine right out of you. And they'll say, what you got? I got the glory. Because you got the joy. Who said that? Who had the joy? Who was that had the joy? Their friend had a joy. What do you got? I got the glory of God. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. In his presence. What's his joy? The joy is your strength, says whoever that prophet is. Right? Where's your strength? The joy. What's the joy? Doing the will of God. Doing the will of God is the joy. Jesus went to the cross. Isaiah 53, he went to the cross. He struggled. And the Lord says in Isaiah 53, I got to read it because it's a powerful, like, wow, I never saw that. Isaiah 53. Now I can't find Isaiah. 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, who? Jesus. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And then it says, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his, satisfied, more explanation. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. If you could be just go to the cross and see Jesus travailing in the garden first. He wasn't travailing because of the cross. His soul was in anguish because he had to give his will over to the Father. He walked in the will of the Father. He had the perfect will of the Father. He says, I got to take their will? Mm-hmm. Yes, son, you go and you take their will, their mind, their emotions. Now, there's no presence of God in a degenerated man, and we were all that way. That was the anguish Christ suffered in his soul. Daddy, I trust you. I was sitting and studying and just meditating on this, and I saw the Lord Jesus. It was just dark. He was being crushed. He says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Jesus is being crushed. All he said, trust God, trust God, trust God, trust God. See, when you trust God, you don't have to be concerned about the circumstance. You don't even have to look at the circumstance. Trust God. Trust God. Why did it please the Lord? What pleases the Lord? Question, what pleases the Lord? Faith. Amen. Trust God. Jesus' faith, the faith you and me live in, trusted God. And it pleased the Father to crush him. Not because he wanted to crush him. For you and me, we make it about us, our sin. It is never about you and me. Was that an issue? Yes. But it took the faith of Jesus to complete and take care of everything we had coming and going. The faith of Christ pleased God. Pleases me to crush you, son. Because I know you know when I said I will raise you from the dead, I'm coming to take you from hell. Did he not do that? Did he do that for you? Would he let you down? Trust God. I'm telling y'all, get naked before God and just trust God. Trust him. He'll take you to places. Oh, Lord, I have no idea where we're going because this has nothing to do with what I was studying. It has everything to do with the Lord. I know it. Okay. Adam. He fell, right? His presence, the presence of God, the glory of God left. We know that because he says all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Shall we go to Moses? Let's get there. Moses, Exodus 33. Moses was told, let me tell you, Moses was a very humble man. Moses knew he had a call on his life when he was young. I bet you his mother, when he was however old, right there when he was nursing off of her, when the daughter of the king took him out of the Nile, and his sister Miriam went and got Mama to take care of Moses, I'm sure she spoke to Moses about what he was called to do. He knew he was because he says, oh, in this flesh, well, I'm the deliverer of Egypt, of Israel, so I'm going to deliver them right now. And he got older, right? And he made a mistake and killed somebody, and they all said, who made you the judge of us? So he ran for 40 years. So he ran out in the desert. Then God comes along and gets his attention, and he turns to him and he says, I'm taking you now. We're going to go get Israel because I've heard your cry, and we're going to bring them out. But I can't speak. I can't speak. I can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Every excuse, just like you and me, can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. He says, I'll get someone to speak for you. Your brother Aaron, who he has not seen in 40 years. And he'll speak. He'll be your mouthpiece. I'm going to tell you what to say. He'll be your mouthpiece. So go get him. They went down, right? He went down. He got him. Comes back. We're all okay. We crossed over. But first off, he saw 10 wonderful, beautiful, powerful things of God. Understand this. In Egypt, all they had were foreign gods. See, you and I don't read that. We kind of get lost in that. You and me have foreign gods. You just don't see it as a god. It's an idol. Anything that you give your presence to, and I'm going here now because we're going to get naked. Fornication. Adultery. Drinking. Abundantly. Overspending. Eating. Overeating. You got one, name it. You know what it is. Name yours. Tell the Lord. I don't know yours. I know mine. Not eating enough. You know, the issue is the same as a heart issue. Shannon talked about God is looking at your heart and my heart. He's not looking at nothing else because he wants you to walk as that pure bride. You are that pure bride. He just wants you to live it out so you can have a wonderful, glorious life. I forgot where I was going. It just came and went. Anyway, we're going to continue with Moses. Oh, yeah, about foreign gods, idols. See, idols, let me read something that God gave me as I was. Let me just read about Adam real quick and how idols. See, we don't understand that. Idols are the pride of life. I can do it my way. I have the right to do it my way. God, don't tell me how to do it this time. I got this over here. I want to be like God, but independent of God. I want to do good. Oh, it's a good thing you want to be healed, but don't do it in your own effort. It's not going to happen. You're just going to go further down the road and wish you had listened to him the first time because he is always talking to us, okay? So an idol is something that you covet. That's what covetousness is. It's idolatry. Now, we look at the Bible and we say, well, how could they do that? Well, they did, just like you and me do. So here it is. Let me see. I'm going to just read this. It may not make sense, and I'm going to try. Hope it says, when God created Adam, he was created in God's image, his glory. You and me have been created in the image of God, his glory, and his presence. Because in his image is his glory. He's spiritual, and he's glory. He's got glory. He's got the presence of God. Adam was created in God's presence, in the existence of God. He was. In God's presence, his existence, we will find God's wisdom. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and God spoke out his wisdom. Christ, whew, the Word of God. What are you supposed to be seeking first in the kingdom? What's the first principle? Wisdom. Wisdom. God's wisdom. Christ in you. He's the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. All right. Then it said, all things were created by Christ for Christ. If you're trying to answer a question without Christ, you need to get out of that stinking thinking and get over into the spiritual realm of who you are and get the real answer to who you are. It says, when Adam partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he chose to leave the presence. He chose free will. He chose. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't really think he understood what he was doing, just like you and me. I don't understand your ways, Lord. But we can. He was a baby, and he wasn't. He was a baby. He was just created. I don't believe he was fully developed in the knowledge of who God was. Just like when you and me get born again, we're not developed in the knowledge of God. We have it all in our spirit, but we got to develop our spirit, begin walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. We don't have that knowledge. That's why he said, you perish because you have no knowledge of God, because you won't renew your mind and offer your body as a living sacrifice. And see who you are by this word that says it's already in you. This substance is right here when I'm reading it. I'm not looking for it. It's a reflection of me. I just got to start believing it. Okay, so he says, then he says, Adam turned from the life in God and from God and chose to live life from his own perspective. Turning is a repenting. He repented in the opposite direction of God. And how God says, will you repent and turn back to me? Come into my presence. Come to face to face with me. So Adam made that choice. And it says self-realization. He was naked and he knew it. Death entered into Adam and Adam into death. It went both ways. Just like life, eternal life goes both ways. Christ enters into me and I'm supposed to be entering into him. But I want one leg in the grave and one out. We refuse to let it lie. So we struggle. Okay? And it says, that's when he said, in dying you shall surely die. In death you shall surely die because you're separated from my presence, which everything you need is contained in the glory of God. It's in his presence. And how much time do I have? Man. Okay. Fear had struck. Then it says, God asked Adam. Well, Adam was naked and afraid, and he hid from the presence of God. Then God came and said, where are you? This wasn't for God's benefit. It was for Adam's to understand what he had done. Fear had struck him. Adam's heart was turned into a spirit of fear. He said, because I heard your voice in the garden, I was naked because I hid myself. I turn from you myself. He wasn't rude and ugly like that. That's not how, I don't think he was. He just, well, I didn't know what I did. Instead of coming back and saying, Lord, I don't know what I did. The woman you gave me? Pride of life divides you. Husband and wife is one in Christ, in the presence of Christ, one. The minute you get into pride, you divide who you are, and you become, they become your enemy. Your husband or your wife, your spouse, will become your enemy if you stay in pride. Not because they want to, because you make them that way. We make them that way. It's our heart that won't let them. We're hiding from their presence. Nope. You cannot see me. Okay? I hope that makes sense. I'm not going there. There's a lot there to be said, but I'm not going there. I think I'm trying to get here. Self-realization equals pride of life, which is an idol. Read Isaiah 14, I think it is, or is it Ezekiel? I can't remember the address of where Satan said, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will be like God. Life. Fornication is about, adultery is about spiritual fornicating. God said, you're mine, I married you, you're mine, I don't want you fornicating with the enemy. I don't want you having adultery with the enemy, but you did. Adam did. They had adultery with Satan. Life. The enemy is coming for the life of God in you. He will steal your hope because if he gets hope, your faith isn't going to work because faith is the substance of things hoped for. He's not trying to kill the word because he can't kill the word because the word is alive. But he can steal your hope. The hope of glory, Christ in you. There's your hope. I know I have to be quitting. Okay. All right. We're going to Moses now real quick. I got to get you there. Got to get you there. Exodus 33. Moses was asking the questions. Okay, yada, yada. He took him across the, he took him to the mountain and said, come up and see me. Come up and see me. Moses said, okay. He went up there. And Moses had a conversation with Israel. Well, whatever God tells us, we'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it. See, they had just come out of idolatry. And guarantee you, they had a lot of gods. They really had never heard God. But an idol, you can read Psalms 115 and 135, and it'll tell you what an idol is. An idol is this right here. It's an image of something that has no ears and no eyes, not able to smell, not able to talk. So if I come to my idol and say, hey, can I have that fifth of alcohol today? Is it going to tell me no? I decide my own life. I go to my idol and say, hey, he didn't tell me I couldn't, so. See, that's what an idol is. It has no ears to hear or eyes to see. And that's why Christ, God came out and said, you that have ears to hear, let them hear. You that have eyes to see, let them see. Because I'm about to talk to you. Now, when God spoke out on the mountain, Israel got afraid. They were frightened. Whoa, we know God speaks. In Deuteronomy, there's a conversation of what was happening in Exodus that Moses rehearsed again in Deuteronomy. And God said to Moses, I heard what they said, and that is a good thing. But if only they had a heart to do it. See, he knew they didn't because they had left the presence of God through Adam. God, I can do this myself. I know you got the heart to do it, but you can't do it. Get out of pride. I got this, Lord. I got it. I won't drink that drink today. Get out of pride. Come, let me help you stop that problem. Hear me. Hear me, he says, O Israel. I am God, the Lord God, one God, the true and living God. No other God is true and living. No other God can speak to you. No other God can see you. No other God can help you. Only Jehovah, the presence of God, the existence of a person, he says to Moses, I've come to you in the name of Jehovah. Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me as Almighty God. They did not know me as Jehovah. Who's Jehovah? The existing one. It's all about his name. And I'm jumping into there. Anyway, Moses goes, he gets the Ten Commandments, he comes down to the camp, and they're just the idolatry going on, because this is what they came out of. Why are we surprised? We come here and get the message from Pastor Trey, and we're happy and lucky. We go home, and we say, I need a drink. It's the same thing, y'all. I'm not condemning, please. I'm just telling you, don't shame them when the shame is inside you. Because that's what an idol is. It's a shame. And that's what happened in the garden. We got under shame. And that causes you to hide from God and from anybody else that might know your secret or you don't want them to know your secret. Shame. We come in this church every Sunday and we sit next to one another. And I've heard ministering words from people. I said, oh, Lord, we're all hurting. But we all come with a fake face. I'm okay. How are you? I'm okay. I'm okay. Oh, no. And you're hurting inside. And you wonder why you can't get your peace. You're not the only one. The devil will try to tell you you're the only one, but you're not. We all come from it. All right? So Moses, they come in, they break the kids. He comes and he gets all upset and God does his thing. He brings Moses back up to the mountain. Right? And he says, I want you to come before me. So Moses comes before him. But Moses says in 33, let's go up there. He's having this conversation the second time to go get the Ten Commandments. And he says to Moses, he says to God, it's chapter 33, and let's go to verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Moses had met him in the tabernacle. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send. That's the smartest thing Moses could have ever done. You haven't let me know who's going with me. I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. That's what he says. Moses said, yet you have said. This is what God said to Moses. Now, therefore, I pray you, if you have found grace, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight. And consider this nation your people. That's a huge response. Moses did not come up there and say, well, God, why in the world did you find favor in me? What have I done for you? Like we do. Oh, I'm worthy. I'm worthy. I'm worthy. No, he says, wait a second. You're asking me. Now, he had just seen him do 10 wonderful miracles. And he still didn't know who this God was. Paul asked the same question when he got converted. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? That's a question we need to ask every day. Who are you, Lord? So as we do that, so he says right there, I may know you. And then he says, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. God says, I'll go with you. I'm going to be your God. I want to be your God, a living God, one that when you speak, I'm hearing. And you know why fear came on them? They didn't want to hear what God had to say. Well, don't talk to him. Moses, you go talk to him. You talk to him, Moses. We're not. You know what we do? Hey, Shannon, can you minister to me today? I have this issue, and I know what the Word of God says, but I just really need to hear what you're saying. Why do you want to get off the vine and go to another branch and get a little of the sap when you can stay connected? Get off the milk. Get off the milk. It hurts when you keep nursing and you're grown. Or you're not grown, but you should be grown. Get the strong meat. Get your own revelation. And kind of bring a word to Shannon. Hey, babe, you know what I heard the Lord say today about you? Or you know what I heard him say about so-and-so, this church? Do you think that would bring her great joy? You know it will. It brings the daddy great joy. Yeah, we have to get off the milk eventually. Oh, we don't have to. But your life's going to show it. So anyway, Moses asked that question. And then let's jump over and I'm going to close with it. I'm going to quit in about 5 minutes. I told y'all once I get started, I have a hard time stopping. Okay. Here's the glory. The latter glory. This is the latter glory. In 34, chapter 34, God told Moses. In 33, he says to Moses, first off, he says in 19, in 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have asked. He said, I'm going to show you me, and you have found grace in my sight, and you, and I know you by name. And the Lord, he says, I beseech you, Lord, you show me your glory. That's what Moses said. And God said, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. That's the key. The name of the Lord contains his glory. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. But we're going to jump over here. So chapter 34, Moses goes back up the next day. He gets the tablets. The Lord said, in verse 5, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness, abundant in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, and that will by no means clear, visiting the iniquities of the fathers and the children. He's going to continue visiting the unbelief. The iniquity is unbelief. The sin is unbelief. The sin is I can do it myself. He's going to visit you and me. Even though we're born again, we still have unbelief. He's going to be merciful and forget your unrighteousness, but he's going to visit you to help you. He's not there to call the guilty guilty. I'm fixing to take that away, he says. This is the latter glory. This is an external thing that only Moses saw because he's the only one that wanted to hear God. But that was his character. The name contains a character. Because Moses asked him that question. Show me your way. In the Hebrew, the word, the name, will always show the character of a person. The name is what? The Lord God Almighty. No, the Lord God Jehovah. The existing one, Jesus, the Lord. When you hear that name, don't just, you didn't come in the name, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. You better know what that name contains. Pastor Trey said, when the seven guys were beaten up, or who are they? Those people. You know, he comes, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who the are you? It's not a name for yourself, but Paul knew the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked Christ and him crucified, Christ and him crucified, and I don't tell you nothing else but Christ and him crucified. Want to know the answer is Christ. Want to know the answer is Christ. Let him out. Take your finger out of the dam. Get out of your pride. We're all there. In some part of our hearts, I don't care who you are. Andrew Womack's got pride in his heart. He knows it, but he's not as much. He's walking freer. The more you know God, the closer you draw to God, there's more to be revealed. You're going to say, I don't know nothing. You don't. Lord, I wake up every day, I don't know anything about you. Nothing, because yesterday's bread is no longer fresh manna. Get off the old stale bread. Eat today the body of Christ broken for you, and drink the blood of Christ. I could go on and on, but I'm not. I got to stop now. I'm just getting started, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm going to be honest with you. I really do believe God is about, he's not about, he's already. But will you take your finger out of the dam and let him flow that big reservoir of water and just jump on to Jesus and float? Will you? Will you put that confession before him today? Now, just confess it and begin to believe it. That's what faith is. You may not see it right now, but if you don't begin to verbally confess it and say it and see it, you're never going to get there. It's so much better than doing the breaststroke or whatever, all that stuff, when he can just take you and bring you to places you never knew, because in the Spirit, there is no limit to God. I'm telling you, he wants you to be limitless in him, because he can take you from that seat all the way over to the other side of the world in the Spirit if you'll let him. And you disconnect from soul. So let's do that here at High Point. I don't know how to finish this, because I never am very good at finishing them, but you know what? I just would like for, where are they? Yeah, there they are. Thank you. And come up. Just sit. This is a time of ministry. See, you know the easiest way to be healed? James says, hey, why don't you come together? And why don't you confess your fault one to another? Why? So Nicole can pray for me. Why? So I can get healed. It's that simple. But the church has dammed up the water and won't let him flow. Spirit-led when you reveal your secret to whomever he tells you to, but trust him, because you will always come out on the other side fresh and clean and full of life. And you'll bring the glory of God to somebody else. His presence, you're a tool to bring his glory to the world, to one another here. We're the glory. When we come together and understand the glory, do you know what that might look like on the outside of this building? The roof is on fire. There's a fire. So, thank you. But y'all, just let the Lord minister to you, because he wants to minister to you. Minister again, like, this is about you today. This is not about me. This is not about Shannon. This is about the Lord God Almighty, who loves you dearly and wants you to know that love. And he wants you to be free in your heart completely. Because if you're not free, you can't walk freely with him. But thank y'all for coming and having a desire for the water and the food of God. He's endless. Y'all get fat in the spirit. Serious. Satisfied. Satisfied. You won't physically be hungry. I'm telling you that from experience. When you're satisfied in the soul, nothing else matters but God. Anything else you want to say? Yeah. I'm just going to close us in prayer, but y'all sit. Stay as long as you want. And know Audrey will be back tonight at 7. She's a powerhouse in the spirit, but let me tell you something. You're going to see why, because she's been in the presence of God. It does take an effort, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. You can be there too. You have the same Spirit of God that's in her and me and Shannon and Nicole and I'm sorry, I don't know your name, Laura, and every one of us, the same Spirit of God. Let Him work in you. Let Him work with the next person next to you. Maybe just pray in the Spirit for one another. You don't have to tell your secret if you don't want to. Not yet. But I thank you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you that you're beginning a work here, a new work. You said it will be evident. It will be evident. The glory of God is upon you. Whew. Now He says, awake to your righteousness. Awake to your righteousness. Know who you are in Christ and who He is in you. Walk free, He says. Walk free. Whew. Thank you, Lord. You have filled, you have fed, you have watered. Expect a growth, y'all. Expect things from God. High expectations from God, because He will never let you down. Expect good things from this day. Expect good things going forward. It's a continual fountain that never runs out, straight down from heaven. Ooh, and that's right side inside you, heaven, the kingdom of heaven's in you. It'll flow out you. You'll be wet and you'll leave a trail of wet water everywhere you go. Just let Him have His way with you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this new beginning. Thank you, Lord, that we will be and are overcomers in the victory because of our faith. Thank you, Lord. And we'll see y'all tonight. Amen.